Over the past 3 years, Arkawi had emerged as the most feared figure in Iraq, the suspected mastermind behind many of the kidnappings, beheadings, and bombings that followed the U.S. invasion in 2003. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly has this look at what his death may mean for the insurgency and for al-Qaeda-linked terrorism worldwide.
U.S. intelligence services have tracked Abu Musab al-Zarqawi for years, starting well before the war in Iraq. He'd built up quite a resume, stretching from running terrorist training camps in Afghanistan to directing terror cells in Western Europe to ordering the assassination of a U.S. diplomat in Jordan to the grisly executions in Iraq. Fawaz Jirjes, a Middle East expert at Sarah Lawrence College, believes Zarqawi had emerged as the top jihadist leader in the world today.
Zarqawi has become the field lieutenant of al-Qaeda organization, not just in Iraq, but also in general. In fact, many of the decentralized al-Qaeda factions in Saudi Arabia, in Yemen, in other places, now refer to Zarqawi. They don't talk about bin Laden. And removing Zarqawi from the scene, I would argue, would hammer another deadly nail in the coffin of al-Qaeda, that is the mother organization.
Matthew Levitt, a former FBI counterterrorism analyst, now director of terrorism studies at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, agrees that Zarqawi had long fostered global ambitions.
Zarqawi actually has become famous for what he's done in Iraq, but he was around long beforehand. He had a network called the Tawhid Network. It was operating in Germany. He was involved in activities in Turkey and many other places. But perhaps the country that fears him most, maybe after the Iraqis, is Jordan.
That's where Zarqawi grew up. He took his nom de guerre, Zarqawi, from his hometown, Zarqa, 17 miles outside Amman. Matthew Levitt says Zarqawi became radicalized while serving time for various crimes in Jordanian jails, and that over time he came to believe Jordan's leaders were corrupt, insufficiently Islamic, and not sympathetic enough to the Palestinian cause.
And he frankly really has it out for the Jordanian regime. It was a Zarqawi network that nearly blew up the Jordanian General Intelligence Directorate and clearly had designs on the Prime Minister and the U.S. Embassy as well.
That foiled attack was from April 2004. Just how closely Zarqawi was aligned with Osama bin Laden and the global al-Qaeda movement has been hotly debated. Some experts saw Zarqawi as a protege of bin Laden's, others a competitor. But a statement in October 2004, attributed to Zarqawi, urged the unification of their two efforts and emphasized, quote, "We will listen to your orders." 2 months later, bin Laden sent his answer. An audio tape attributed to the al-Qaeda leader praised Zarqawi and welcomed his, quote, "joining forces with us." Jeffrey White is a former chief of Middle East intelligence at the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency. He believes the two men shared an ideological alliance, but never day-to-day cooperation.
They have the same political religious philosophy. They have the same enemies in mind. And they carry out a lot of action, similar type actions. And there may be some support going in there in terms of, you know, people, money, guidance on how to do things. But it isn't a command and control relationship.
It was, of course, in Iraq that Zarqawi made his name. His operations seemed designed to inflict maximum destruction and casualties and to attract maximum publicity. As the months passed after the U.S. invasion, Washington raised the reward for his killing or capture from $5 to $10 and finally to $25 million. Fawaz Jirjes of Sarah Lawrence says the insurgency will no doubt continue without Zarqawi, not least because Zarqawi controlled only a small fraction of the fighters, mostly foreign. But Jirjes points out that those foreign fighters were behind many of the most deadly bombings, and he believes Zarqawi's loss will deal a major blow to the insurgency. Jeffrey White is not so sure.
I don't believe that taking him out of the structure will have any profound or long-term impact on the organization. It's most likely that the organization will be able to recover from his loss, although its capabilities should be decreased, at least for a time.
Whatever his legacy in Iraq, U.S. officials are no doubt glad to be rid of the man who had become the face of the insurgency and a rising figure in international terrorism. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.